Our Lord and our God, we come in your presence, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask that you guide us today as we open your precious word again. In Christ's name, amen. Good to be with you. We're closing out chapter 2 of Titus today. As we see in verses 11 on down to the end of the chapter, we see great salvation doctrines. As we see God our Savior and Christ our Savior mentioned in each of the three chapters of Titus, the first time it's mentioned in the introduction of chapter 1 in connection with promise, the promises of God, the God that cannot lie promised eternal life. And we see in chapter 2, as we're here today, these tremendous salvation doctrines. Verse 11, we see salvation. Verse 12, practical sanctification. And verse 13, glorification. Past, present, and future salvation, you might say. And then in chapter 3, when it speaks of God our Savior, it speaks there of many doctrines of salvation, as we'll look there at those verses when we're in chapter 3. So that's a good way to outline the book of Titus, is study the points of God our Savior and Christ our Savior that's pointed out in this letter from Paul to Titus. But today, let's look at verse 14. Speaking of verse 13, speaking of the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, if anyone has ever told you, and perhaps people can overhear your radio at work today, or in a nursing home, or in the car, wherever you're at, perhaps you've got people around you that say that the Lord Jesus Christ was never called God. Well, we have many, many places where you can rightly divide the word of truth and see that the same Jehovah of the Old Testament is Christ of the New Testament. You can go on and on with that, about how he's called in both the Old and the New Testament. Jehovah is called the Rock. The Old Testament, the New Testament, Christ is called the Rock. We can see how only God can forgive sins in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, Christ was forgiving sin. You can go on and on with the parallel between Jehovah of the Old Testament and Christ of the New Testament. So yes, Christ is God. But yet, one say, well, he was never called God, was he? Well, I would say, listen to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, he is called God by the Apostle Paul in the inspiration of the Word of God. Hebrews, the chapter 1, God the Father said, well, let's just turn there. I don't want to misquote it. It's just one page over. Hebrews 1 and verse 8, but unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So the Father, in the one Godhead, the three persons of the Godhead, there's one God, but in God's sovereignty, the way he explains the Godhead to us is the three personalities, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Here the Father calls the Son God. So not only has Paul called Christ God, we see that the Father himself calls the Son God. Do you not recall back when Thomas was there, and he was the one disciple that was absent that time whenever Christ appeared to them after his resurrection in bodily form, mind you, because they touched him, and we see he ate with them and things such as this. He bodily was there in their presence after his resurrection, but Thomas was absent. So the next time, he said, I will not believe until I touch him. And when he came into the very presence, after he said, I must see and touch these nail prints in his hands, well, he bowed down immediately when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ and said, my Lord and my God. So not only did Paul call Christ God, not only did the Father in heaven call him God, but we see that Thomas, some say doubting Thomas, well, when he believed and once he saw, he called the Lord Jesus God. We could go on. But we see here, as we're in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, speaking of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, verse 14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the order that we must hold to. Chapter 3 of the same book, and also in Ephesians 2, it shows that. That first you have salvation through Christ alone, then we have the good works by the believer. Good works do not count before God until after you're born again. You cannot do good works to get to heaven. Titus 3 tells us the same thing. Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 tell us the same thing. That good works is only considered good works in the sight of God after you're born again. Notice again, Titus 2, 14, who gave himself for us. That is redemption. That is substitution. Christ was the substitute for us upon the cross of Calvary. We deserve to die for our sins. We were born sinners. We have proved it by sinning. We are sinners by action. We're sinners by birth. But who was the substitute? The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. My friend, if you know not Christ as your Lord and Savior today, Christ, without any shadow of a doubt, was the one who gave himself for us. The great substitute for the ones that were sinful, such as you and I, that could not pay for our own sins. Romans chapter 5 tells us with two tremendous verses. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Then it goes on, verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, and we are in need of a Savior. I may be speaking largely to Christians today upon this Christian radio station, but undoubtedly with people listening on the radio, people around them at work, people in the car, people in nursing homes, and wherever the radio may be on, there is undoubtedly someone in the sound of my voice that knows not Christ as their Lord and Savior. May you yield to him today. I cannot save you. I'm not worthy to save you. I was born a sinner, and I sin when I fail my Savior even today. But I turn to him for forgiveness and for fellowship to be restored. But as far as my salvation is concerned, he has saved me by the shedding of his blood upon the cross of Calvary. Speaking of Christ in verse 13, 14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. See, we also have salvation in this life, that he would not only save us from the penalty of our sin, but he also redeems us from this lawlessness, this iniquity that rules in our members as we're born sinners. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. We're called as Christians peculiar people, but that's because we've been set apart. Set apart. That's what sanctification means, being set apart. Set apart unto him, zealous of good works. Once we are believers, then our good works count. That which we can do for considering good works, we might say, only are good works in the sight of God after we're born again. Chapter 3 of Titus, it says in verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. But then after that, it says in verse 8, For this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that thou which have believed, past tense, have believed in God, might be careful to maintain good works. Again, God's order. Salvation first, good works following. My friend, I've asked you today, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you are saved, then give glory to Him. For He is the one, the only one, who is worthy to be praised and honored. As in Revelation 4, when we see that the crowns of the believers will be cast at the feet of Him, the only one worthy, the only one that will be worthy to open that book of life. And if you are a believer in Christ as your Lord and Savior, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're one of His children, then one day those books will be opened and your name will be found therein. Christ is our Savior, who gave Himself for us. Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, He gave Himself for me. Can you say that today? Before we close today, we have a song from our brother Mark Beebe. Join us next Sunday morning at 10:15 for the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.